The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Jared Knott joins me, historian. He's an author of Tiny Blunders, Big Disasters, a brand new book, too, coming out in just a few days. Isn't that right, Jared? Welcome back to the show.
Well, actually, the electronic version is available right now. You can order the paperback, which is going to ship in about the 12th of April. So you can order them both right now.
Yeah. Well, of course, it is the international. You're the best-selling author, once again, of Tiny Blunders, Big Disasters, 39 Tiny Mistakes That Changed the World Forever. And we talked about that last time I had you on. This was probably a few months back with it. But you have been digging through history and coming up with even more great stories about weird stuff that ends up going on just by some official, some person, someone's asleep at the wheel, someone gets a little bit overextended. Like, I think one of my favorite stories in volume two is when you go deep into how we ended up getting the Louisiana Territory and how you write in there about how Napoleon was just essentially flat broke and knew he was going to go to war for England, and Jefferson's people end up going to France and thinking, we just want to buy New Orleans, right? That's all they wanted. Right. They just wanted to buy New Orleans. And then you said something happened. What happened when they end up showing up?
Yes, they go in there to the big presentation, and it's going to make an offer to buy the city of New Orleans. They say, well, guess what, guys? You've asked for a town. We're going to give you an empire. They offer the entire Louisiana purchase, which is everything drained by the Mississippi, for the reasonable price, I recall, of $15 million, that's off the top of my head. And, and they technically speaking, they're supposed to go back to Washington, get approval, and then come back, but that would have taken too long, so they just negotiated it right there, came up with the terms, and, of course, everybody was elated.
Oh, yeah, and that was the part that it was amazing. You know, back in the United States, people were dancing in the aisles, you know, over this practically, because the United States had doubled its size. It just, overnight with something like this, lots of resources. But I guess it was one of those things where they're thinking, all right, better to ask for forgiveness than permission, right?
That's right. Well, they knew correctly that they would be hailed as heroes for having to pulled off this massive deal. I think it's 550,000 square miles or something like that. 550,000 square acres, I think it is. And, of course, the entire Mississippi basin. And then, of course, from that led to the Lewis and Clark expedition, which came within an ace of being having their throats cut by the Nez Perce Indians. That's a fun story itself.
Yeah,
In the book there.
So they almost died. What ended up saving them before they were able to get on the road or on the river? Yeah. I guess really.
Well, yeah, they're in the Bitterroot Mountains. Out there, I think in Idaho, and they stumbled and come down out of the mountains, and the Nez Perce Indians see them and never seen white men before. Said, gee, these guys have pots, they have pans, they have rifles, they have all these material. Go there, cut their throats, and we'll be the richest Indians west of the Mississippi.
Richest Indians with pots and pans, right? Wow. I guess it's all relative, right, to what you're used to.
Right, and rifles and shots and all those things. So knives. But anyway, there was an elderly female in the tribe who had been kindly treated by white people some 20, 30 years earlier. And she said, no, these are good people. Treat them with fairness and kindness. So they, instead of killing them, they became their friends. They showed them how to hunt salmon. They showed them how to get to the Northwest Passage to the Pacific, and were very friendly to them and very supportive to them when they were in badly need of that kind of support. They couldn't find any game. They couldn't find any fish, and they were just close to starving. So they managed to survive and go and complete their mission. But if it had not been for the kindness shown by a Christian family to this elderly woman, some 30 years earlier, they might have had their throats cut and their bones would be bleaching out there in the sun, and everybody in Washington would have wondered whatever happened to them.
Yeah. In some ways, when you talk about, tiny blunders, big disasters, Could that have been a tiny blunder, big disaster on behalf of the Native American tribes when you look back at it through the lens of hindsight history?
Exactly right. I make that point there from the standpoint of those Indians who are trying to repel European invasion. That act of kindness was, I guess, a tiny blunder that led to a disaster in terms of what they were trying to accomplish. Tecumseh would have said, cut their throats in a second. That's a whole big struggle taking place between Europeans and the Native Americans. And, of course, in that same context, there was a mistake down there at Fort Mims. That's a whole other story about leaving the gate open to the fortress, and the Red Stick Indians come pouring in and leads to a massacre. There are three different examples in Book 2 about where a fortress gate was left open or unlocked and led to the defeat of that particular fortress. There's a Fort Parker, Fort Mims, and the biggest of all, Constantinople and the Ottoman Empire.
It's amazing how many major disasters come because somebody forgets to lock the door, right?
Yes, Elon Musk sent out this little tweet kind of making fun of this situation. It took place way back in 1453, but two and a half years ago, he sent out this little cartoon. It showed a soldier with his helmet on in bed with blankets pulled up, a little balloon over his head showing his thoughts, and he's saying, "Did I remember to lock that gate yesterday?" And the answer was no, which contributed to the fall of the fortress. Now, the Turks, by the way, were kind of offended by that little cartoon, but what the heck?
That's the way it goes. Jared Knott with me, who writes just really fun, interesting history books here. And the latest one that you can get now on electronic form, but the paperback out pretty soon, Tiny Blunders, Big Disasters. And let me see if I want to make sure that I get the right name of the new one. It's Tiny Blunders, Big Disasters, Book 2, The Many Tiny Mistakes That Changed the World Forever. And there's one that you mentioned.
Right.
Yeah, there's one that you mentioned. An example, another one I wanted to touch on. You have so many of them in there, but one of them had to do with the Bismarck and what ended up leading to how Now this was World War II we were talking about, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct. Yeah.
And it had to do once again with a tiny mistake. It's astounding how often this happens.
Yes, that's a very interesting story. I make the point in the book. It was actually a series of mistakes. The British made several mistakes. The Germans made several mistakes. It was mistake on one side, mistake on the other, mistake on one side, mistake on the other. And at one point, the Ark Royal aircraft carrier launched these swordfish biplanes in the storm to drop their torpedoes against the Bismarck. They get lost in the storm, and they drop their torpedoes against a British ship. But fortunately, they were using the new magnetic detonators, which did not work and did not sink the British ship. Oops. So they go back there, they refit with the old standard contact torpedoes. They go out again a second time, they find the Bismarck, and they hit it with two torpedoes. One of them, a lucky hit, hits the rudder, and it does not sink the Bismarck, but it ruins her ability to navigate. It can only travel in a big circle. It could not make it back to the coast of France. And that was the key point that then led them to come in to sink the ship all the way to the bottom. But there were numerous mistakes on both sides. At one point, the commander of the Bismarck had lost the British who were trying to track him in another storm. And he was told by his commanding center back in France, "I think you lost the British. Do not send any more radio signals."
So he was told then, "Shut up, don't use the radio." What happened?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And he was saying, "Those people don't know what they're talking about. I never trusted them anyway. I'm going to go ahead and send these long radio messages." Well, sure enough, they were able to pick up the location of the Bismarck and start to track it. Now, there was another mistake on the British side. They miscalculated, and they thought that he was heading to the north, trying to go back through the Straits, back to Germany. But no, after 7 hours of going the wrong direction, oops, we made a mathematical mistake. They turn around. Now they're heading the right direction. So it was a mistake this way, mistake that way. And finally, in the final analysis, of course, the ship went to the bottom.
Wow. Are there any examples that you can bring up of a pretty, maybe almost close to modern history that you're talking about in Book 2 here? Is there anything that you can just briefly mention on that?
Yes, October the 7th, that's when the Israelis were surprised by the Arab attack. They apparently had received indications and even a warning. The president of Egypt says he sent the Netanyahu government a warning that something big was getting ready to happen. There were other indications. They saw them practicing with these gliders nearby. There were indications that something was about to happen, maybe a case of overconfidence, or what I call and other people call victory disease, when people have had a series of successes, and the Mossad, a legendary in its ability to see around the corner into the Arab world.
Oh, yeah. Nobody wants to go up against the Mossad, one of the best right. intelligence agencies in the entire world, if not the best, really, when you look at them.
Maybe they were too confident. Maybe they were believed in their own publicity a little bit too much because they did not see that attack coming at all. If they had, it would have been a different course of history. If they had launched a preemptive attack against the Arabs, that would have neutralized the entire war before it even got started, and the outcome would have been very, very different. So that was a tiny blunder, maybe out of overconfidence, that led to a big disaster.
Historian and author Jared Knott with me. And like I said, it's a great book, a wonderful read, Tiny Blunders, Big Disasters. And there is a second edition of this. Like, I wanted to make sure you knew about this, and I keep skipping over. What is the second book called again? It's a little bit different, okay?
Yeah, it's Tiny Blunders, Big Disasters, Book 2, The Many Tiny Mistakes That Changed the World Forever. When I wrote Book 1, I didn't know there was going to be a Book 2. I am just vastly, vastly honored that the success has been just enormous. And by the way, in that connection, Book 2 is now number one in the very large U.S. history category with Amazon.
Cool.
Which is an enormous honor. And then Book 1 is number 6. So I have number 1 position, number 6 position, which is just a great honor.
So number 6 still selling, too. That's great. Wow.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Two at the same time. So just an absolute great blessing. It's been a whole bunch of fun writing the books, and it's a lot of fun talking about them as well.
I wanted to ask you about the situation when you had so much success with the first one. Did people feed you maybe every now and then, say, hey, Jared, look into this particular bit of history? Or did you just go, oh, dig this up just because of your own love of history that, you know, that you found all this?
No, I did. I had some suggestions. My daughter, my twin daughters, told me about Rosemary Kennedy, who was mentally retarded because of two mistakes that took place. She was being born back during the flu epidemic back in 1917, 1918, and the a lady who was the kind of midwife who was handling it did not want to deliver her. She wanted to wait until the doctor got there, so she had Rose keep her legs very tight to keep the baby from coming out. Well, that may have cut off the circulation to her body, to her brain. And so she was born moderately mentally retarded.
Mm-hmm.
She could read at about a 10-year-old level, so on and so forth like that. She was an attractive woman with an attractive figure. And you know, as a teenager, she was maybe slipping out at night. Her father, Joseph Kennedy, a rather harsh man, didn't want them to nothing to happen to hurt the family's reputation. So he followed the advice of doctors and had a lobotomy performed on her.
Yikes.
Well, that made her turn into a zombie. She could talk and write reasonably well. Before that, after that, she couldn't even speak. She just became just a step or two ahead of being a vegetable. So it was a terrible disaster.
But there were lots of Rosemary Kennedys back in that era, though. Really?
Oh yeah. There was all kinds of mistakes made.
Yeah, the way they approached that sort of thing. You know, I wanted to talk with you about the study of history in general, where we're going here, because I noticed that it wasn't too long ago that President Trump signed an executive order restoring truth and sanity to Americans' history. And what do you think about that? Because I'll hear your take, and then I want to talk about the Smithsonian, when I visited the Smithsonian and also Monticello a few years ago. And I came away with such disappointment. But how do you see this executive order? Might it be helpful, and what does it actually do?
Yes, I don't know the details of the order, but now I guess there's two sides to the story. Back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, when we were going to school, I was going to school, my generation, Columbus was hailed as an absolute hero, winning of the West, you know, a wonderful thing, mm-hmm. et cetera. And not as much was said, it should have been said, about the mistreatment of Native peoples. So the pendulum could swing too far one way, can swing too far the other. They act like the many deaths that took place in Latin America from Christopher Columbus was all they're being forced to work in the mines and being butchered and tortured by the Spanish. Well, that's not true. The casualties came from measles and smallpox that the European sailors brought with them, and the native peoples had very little natural defenses against it. That was where most of the casualties came from. So a balanced picture would be fair, not too much, too far one way, too far the other. The whole business about the United States being based on white oppression and white supremacy and so on and so forth just takes it far, far, far too much in one direction.
Yeah, okay, I agree. Balance is good. But revisionism has gotten to the point where it's practically laughable. And yeah. I ended up visiting D.C., I want to say this was 6-7 years ago when I went there, and ended up making a wrong turn, leaving my brother's house, and we ended up at Monticello on the way back up to D.C. And so mm-hmm. my wife and I go, hey, wow, we got to go see this. It's Jefferson's birthplace, his house, rather. And so it was amazing to get there. And then we got to the tour. And the tour just seemed to say one thing. In fact, I think they almost could have taken a recorder of some sort and just repeat, slave, 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 Sally Hemings, slave, 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 right. slave. And, you know, this is National Park Service, you know, that is running this.
Oh, yeah.
And it was almost as if, yes, he did a few things good, but slave, 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 slave. And I'm saying, wait a minute. You know, what happened? I've read enough about this. This was a brilliant man and who did and wrote brilliant things. And that seemed to be getting soft peddled. Yeah. And I was just I was shocked and disheartened that this is what passes for history being taught. Have you ever been to Monticello? Have you experienced any of that?
No, but you make a very, very good point. There's a lot of poison being poured into our children about white children made to feel guilty. You're the benefit of white privilege. You're the benefit of white oppression.
And you are the source of all evil in the United States and must be vanquished. You know, that kind of thing.
They seem to hate the United States and be intent on bankrupting us and tearing us down.
Well, after that trip to Monticello, then we're in Washington, D.C., and I had never been to the Smithsonian. Well, boy, what a surprise that was going inside there. I walk inside the Smithsonian displays here, and I forget which department it was, but all I was looking at was privilege, white privilege, signs up on the walls, this and privilege, voting, democracy, white privilege. Right. And it was like I was walking into a communist struggle session. And this is a United States agency that's running this. And this is not a balanced view of history that I was looking at.
No, the government employees, of course, heavily, heavily biased to the left. Donald Trump is evil. Fox is a propaganda tool of whatever. Mm-hmm. It's tilted way, way too far to the left. Of course, Hollywood kind of got its comeuppance with this last election. Some comedian was saying, yes, you can, you're blessed this way, blessed this way. You can do anything you want to, except tell people how to vote. And so the news media, which indirectly is connected to what we're talking about there, has an extremely, extremely low approval rating. It's been around 12%, 12, 14% with the American people. The voters saw through all of that. They saw through the arming of the justice system, weaponizing it against Donald Trump. And they saw against the bias of the news media, including Hollywood. And so I think they lost the battle.
Do you think, though, even though that leftists may have lost the battle in the election at this time, they still control the institutions, and I would dare say the Smithsonian and the way it's told. And, you know, the victors end up telling the stories that they want told, I suppose.
And also the schools. In schools, the professors and teachers in high school and college, very, very liberal. They're also spewing the same kind of disreputable filth into our children's minds. that's something that has to be turned around.
Yeah. But is there any evidence that the institutions are actually being brought to heel? This will be a long-term process. It took a long time to get here, but you know, what are your thoughts, having been such a great lover and studier of real history?
Yes, of course, the power of the purse, and Columbia and Harvard, they're losing millions of dollars in federal funding because of their mistreatment of Jewish students, which is part of the same issue there. Okay, the Jews are considered the white, it's white privilege, and they think that the Palestinians are badly abused as a minority, et cetera, et cetera. So that's just the beginning of what has to take place in terms of our textbooks and the teaching that coming out of the high schools and colleges. Lots of that still needs to be done.
Okay.
An awful lot.
Well, I have to tell you, great job on this book. I loved Volume 1, you know, the first volume of Tiny Blunders, Big Disasters, and now the latest one is Tiny Blunders, Big Disasters, 39 Tiny Mistakes That Changed the World Forever. You can get that at all the usual suspects. And
also, you can go to tinyblundersbigdisasters.com.
Mm-hmm.
tinyblundersbigdisasters.com. Have two free chapters there, plus a fun quiz and a portrait gallery with 29 personalities. A little bit of dirt on each one.
A little bit of dirt. That's what we like. That's what we like here. Honestly, do you think that there may be enough material out there for a volume three?
Well, I have a radio host, who is insisting on a book three. Well, okay, we have a book three coming out, but it goes a different direction. The title of it is The Hushed Up Murders of Famous People. They murdered big and got away with it. That's book number three. It's going to be coming out in about another year and a half.
Oh, I know that. I'll talk with you about that too, Jared. Thanks so much for being on the show.
I appreciate it.
All right. I appreciate
all
you
right,
too.
Be
well.
Much.
Like I said, anybody that can make such entertaining reads of history, that really cuts through a lot of bias and crap out there. It's 8:34 at KMED, 99.3 KBXG.
Before you know it, it will be
6:3 KMED. You're hearing the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
I love that promo. Yeah, the sheeple. It's 8:36, 770-KMED. I'll grab one call before news, and then we'll grab a few more calls after open for business. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
Good morning. This is Tracy from Mount Vernon, Washington. So, unfortunately, I caught only the tail end of the last segment there. And this, I assume, was in regard to the March 27th presidential declaration or executive order that cleans up history. Yeah, it's really been bad. I've been to places like Monticello and Smithsonian the last few years.
Oh, you know, I went to Monticello, and I after going to Monticello, there's a part of me almost wanted to take a shower. After what I had to experience, I was not getting a balanced picture of Jefferson, in my opinion, at all, really.
No, it's really gotten bad. And but I want to find out in the next few months and years what is going to be the impact on the Civil War. A lot of Civil War monuments were removed in the last 4 years, and that tells a more complete, some may not like it, but a more complete picture of the South's attitude in the Civil War. And, you know, these monuments have been removed from, like, the Arlington National Cemetery and elsewhere. Some, obviously, in the state of Virginia, they removed those. And, you know, to what extent were they going to go to? Were they going to eliminate them from the National Cemetery?
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised. That's kind of where it is, because it's about crushing any kind of resistance to this total state. And I know that there may be people who disagree with me, but what the Civil War really was about, there was a lot of slavery. Slavery was a dying institution. It was an evil institution. I make no bones about that. All right. But every other country in the world ended up just getting rid of slavery without going to war over it. And that was part of it. My main issue, and this is why I've tended to be sympathetic to the Southerners' cause, is that ultimately this is about self-determination. And up to the Civil War, there were many secessionist movements. And the whole idea is that you join a country voluntarily, you can volunteer to leave. Well, the way the Civil War settled it is that, well, you can check out any time you like, but then we will kill you. is in essence what the government said back in those days. Okay. And that's where I come down on the Southern sympathy for that reason. Okay.
Hotel California on steroids.
Yeah, pretty much. You can check out anytime you like, but we will come and kill you if you don't agree to love your tyrant. All right. That's the issue. And that's, I think, why they want to disappear Southern history. And I don't have a lot of relatives from that area. I have a few, but I'm just looking at this from the point of view of up until that time, you volunteered to join the United States. The colonies volunteered to join, and it was well known that you could also volunteer to unjoin. And they've decided, nope, you are the total state. And this, and frankly, Lincoln, in my opinion, was the beginning of the total state in which, you know, you're not supposed to question anything, even today. All right. Thank you, Tracy. Appreciate the call. Thanks for checking in from Washington State, also the total state. 20 before 9, this is the Bill Myers Show.
Rule number one, if you're looking to sell a home, choose a local.
8:43, open for business time here now on KMED and 99.3 KBXG. Open for business this time around, sponsored by Advanced Air. We have Randall. MyAdvancedAir.com is number 772-6866. How you doing this morning, Eric? Well, I'm not sorry, Eric. I was thinking my 6:30 guest Randall, this morning, yeah. Randall. I'm getting everybody. Hey, listen, it's Liberation Wednesday, okay? That's all we need to know, okay?
That's fine, Bill. I was thinking about your comments earlier on Val Kilmer, and by far my favorite character that he played was Doc Holliday with the line, "I'm your Huckleberry."
That's the one you like. That seems to be the number one that people have been coming up with so far. That's the one.
Masterpiece.
All right. And it's the one. It's one of the Val Kilmer movies I have not seen. Never had a chance
to. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
so
wow.
I'm going to have to get that. Now, Scuba Steve was just telling me, though, that the documentary on his life called Val is on Amazon Prime, Prime Video. And so I'm going to watch that because he goes through all of those characters and also the cancer diagnosis. And Steve says it's really, really good, too. So
yeah.
Something to keep in mind. Hey, wanted to talk with you, though, given that you are involved, of course, you're our friend in the HVAC industry here, myadvancedair.com, 772-6866. Have we transitioned to cooling season yet? Are we still kind of...
We're doing our cooling maintenances now. So, yeah, definitely, if you haven't had a maintenance, preventative maintenance on your HVAC system, you want to do it. You want to treat your HVAC system like you treat your vehicle. It's a mechanical piece of equipment. It requires some attention. It fails if you don't. It's like the old adage, you know, driving your car and without changing the oil, and someday it's going to leave you stranded roadside. Well, your HVAC system is very much the same. It's a mechanical piece of equipment. It needs to be inspected. It needs to be lubed. The belts need to be tightened. There's a lot of different things that filters definitely need to be changed.
Oh,
yeah. All those things help ensure the longer life of your equipment.
It's amazing how much quickly your filters can clog up, especially high-quality filters that are catching a lot of stuff. I'm amazed how much is in the air sometimes. It's not just cat fur either, you know,
at least
in my house. I wanted to touch in on the rebates. What kind of rebates and deals do you have right now? And it may become even more important. We'll talk tariffs here in just a moment, okay?
But yeah, absolutely.
What kind of offers you got going, huh?
Yeah, Energy Trust of Oregon, and you can go to your website. Listeners can go to the Energy Trust of Oregon website. There's all sorts of rebates available for home improvement projects, not just HVAC, but there is several thousand dollars worth of rebates available for qualifying equipment. Some of those rebates are income-based. Some of them are for rental homes. So if you're an investor that has multiple rental homes, some of those are efficiency-based. For heat pumps, and so there's a number of different programs, and some of those can be combined. So that's just with the Energy Trust of Oregon. Then right now, there's Bryant Factory rebates available on qualifying high-efficiency equipment, and there are other rebates available. There's some utility rebates available both through Bryant and also through other municipalities. The Inflation Reduction Act. Some of those, there's been a lot of language about that, about those rebates coming out. They haven't fully been presented to the public, and we're not really sure yet what those are going to look like.
And this is so. This was money that was already committed, right? I want to be clear. So it's not dogeable, I guess, would be the.
Well, that's what you know. Yeah, that's what we're kind of waiting to find out. It has taken so long for it to hit market that you know it kind of leads you to wonder is this really going to be legitimate money entering the marketplace, and so that's kind of yet to be determined. Many would argue that it is, but the programs haven't been fully announced, and the amounts haven't been fully announced rather. So you know, we're waiting to see on that, but we'll be rolling that information out as soon as it becomes official and becomes available.
All right, so go to MyAdvancedCare, get in touch with Randall, and find out what deals might be workable for you, including the Energy Trust of Oregon, up to $4,000. That's real money. You might need that $4,000 right now. We don't know what the full announcement of tariffs from the president will be till later today after 1 o'clock. I know they're going to be getting together in the Rose Garden. But what are we looking at right now? And is it one of those things where if you buy a unit at this time that's in stock, you're good? But if you're hoping to import something a little bit later, because from what I understand, a lot of these components are made all over the world. Not everything is just made, even though there are some made in the United States, but it's usually put together with a lot of foreign components too, right?
Exactly. Yeah, the tariffs are definitely affecting us. But here's another thing too. We're at like this really awkward time in HVAC where you have 410A refrigerant being phased out and you have 454B refrigerant coming in, right? So there's already a tremendous amount of holes in the equipment lineup for 410A equipment, right? So you can't just buy whatever you want in that older technology. And at the same time, 454B hasn't been fully released yet. They're filling in their equipment lineups. And so,
So what's available? Let me ask you, what can you actually get on the shelf right now without too much trouble? You know?
Well, our sales staff, they do inventory and offer what's available. And for projects that have longer lead times, you know, we're quoting 454 equipment with the expectation that the lineups will be fully, filled in by summertime here, by time their projects are ready to go. But yeah, it's very cumbersome at the moment. So there's price increases on the 454 on the newer refrigerant stuff that's coming in, and then there's also tariffs being added on top of that.
Yeah, what kind of tariffs are we looking at right now in HVAC?
We're seeing anywhere from 5% on equipment, 5 to 8% on equipment, and then we're seeing 10 to even 20% on materials, depending on what those are. Now,
well, let's take copper tubing. I know that in the HVAC world, a lot of copper tubing gets used, right?
Yeah. And so there was some information that came out a couple of days ago about copper going up 30%. I just learned today that was flat stock. That wasn't tubing.
Oh.
But copper definitely is. And so we're trying to get a refined answer on that. But yeah, copper, all the precious metals, I mean, that's all part of the HVAC, you know, production and assembly line. So it affects us, unfortunately. And so those tariffs are also... they're in queue, so the distributors and the manufacturers are also waiting for tariff announcements to be finalized before they actually pass that increase on to the contractors, and then the contractors subsequently have to pass that on to the customers.
And essentially, we're just in this wait and see today and for the next few days, probably.
Yeah, we'll know here. Yeah, within the next couple of days, I would think by week's end.
All right, hey, wanted to talk with you about the bids, because a lot of people will go out and they'll get multiple bids, and of course they have you bid on equipment. What is the danger of going with the cheapest one? You know, in your experience over the years.
Oh yeah, Bill, that's a great question. We see a lot of that. It's not uncommon at all for us to bid against, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 other HVAC contractors for projects, particularly for commercial jobs. I mean, 7 or 8 contracts or competitors on some of the recent bids. And we're actually seeing some awards being given below cost. on some jobs. And so that's always like a flag of a lot of desperation in the marketplace. You know, there's a lot of organizations that aren't real busy right now, and they'll do anything just to get some work. One of the consequences to that is now they have defaulted, some of these contractors have defaulted on some of these projects, and then we're asked to rebid the job maybe a year later, maybe 6 months later. And unfortunately, had they gone with us the first time, you know, we would have been able to lock them in at a lower price at the for the 410A refrigerant and all of that stuff. Well, now, you know, it's 20-30% higher a year later, and we're looking at doing jobs, you know, for customer, and it puts the client in just a terrible situation.
Yeah, and they're passing out when they look at the price, right? Based on what they thought it was going to be.
It's just an absolute headache. And then, you know, other things you always, you know, not all companies are equal. You know, we invest heavily in training. We pay 100% for our employees to participate in relevant apprenticeships, the sheet metal apprenticeship and the HVAC apprenticeship, professional development, you know, that all costs money. Warranties, like we warranty all of our installs, all of our equipment. You know, so we stand behind our install and our product, you know, so you're getting that, and it costs more. But there's certainly a peace of mind and a satisfaction that comes along with that.
Yeah. And I know you tend to be very careful, you know, about these things, and because, you know, you never want to be one of those people that falls for the over-promising and under-delivering type of contractor, right? That's
right. Well, especially in such a volatile marketplace, we try to be as absolutely transparent. I mean, even us discussing here publicly, you know, what we know, what we're seeing in the marketplace, we like to be totally upfront with people because there is a lot of volatility in the marketplace. And if people know that and can understand it, I mean, it's not just us, you know, trying to raise prices. There's all sorts of economic factors, you know, under the surface that are influencing and driving prices up.
MyAdvancedAir.com, the website here, and the number is 772-6866. Become a Comfort Club member, too. Get your problems looked at in front of the line. Of course, that's the way this works, too. And, Randall, great talking to you, and thanks for sharing the thoughts. And, gosh, we're going to see what happens in tariff world here over the next few days, because it's really going to have some impact on HVAC and contractors in general, won't it?
Yeah, it absolutely will. And also, hey, good news on Oregon Executive Order 2431 that has been stayed.
Down in flames. Yep.
Yeah, that was a big one that was affecting local construction companies.
Yeah, that was going to force those PLAs, forcing everybody to go with union help. And there just isn't a lot of that down here in Southern Oregon, right?
So that was a great, it was deemed unconstitutional. So we'll see how that continues to shake
out. All right. Very good. Hey, Randall, thanks for checking in and you're being on Open for Business, okay? Thank you.
Yep.
8:56 and change. This is KMED.
In Old Town Eagle Point, open daily for lunch and dinner.
Hi, I'm Lisa with Pacific Survey Supply, and I'm on KMED.
Thank you so much for your listenership today here. I understand I'm going to have to go home and watch Tombstone. All right. Maybe certainly Val for sure. Let's do some emails of the day here before I take off and get ready for Conspiracy Theory Thursday. They're sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson and Central Point Family Dentistry. CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com on Freeman Way in Central Point next to the Mazatlan Mexican Restaurant. It's really cool about that. While You Weigh Crowns. Ask them about that, okay? They have an in-house lab. Chuck from Wolf Creek brings a great one in this morning. Says, Bill, during your show today, you touched on mental health, which I have some experience. I believe from the book Mad in America that the best treatment for mental health is to get them in a peaceful place. The Quakers had it right. Treat them with dignity and get them to a place where they did not have distractions or drugs of any kind, illicit or medication. I'm not talking about their eugenic attitudes, but the actual process of caring for people with mental problems. Their peaceful and caring environment was helpful and established the standard for care, and the pharma industry ignored. It can be done for much less than our current mess. The problems with our laws today is a voluntary or involuntary one flew over the cuckoo's nest where a sane person will be detained for a period. That's why they're made so loose. As we are not able to keep anyone unless they're unsuccessful at committing suicide, but unless they are a minor in the foster system, they only get a 48-hour lockdown. The irony of this is if they are killing themselves, they can't get help. It's not until after an attempt has kicked in that the help can be worse than the problem. I appreciate that. I have another email of the day. Hang on just a second. I want to stop the system from running away with me. I wanted to get this email of the day in here, too, and it is from Patrick. And this has to do with the erasing of history. We were talking about that with Jared Knott a few minutes ago here, the Tiny Blunders author. And he had a great quote on history. Bill, when you erase the memory of the evils of your past, they will become the evils of your future. It's an unknown quote, but that's a great quote, Patrick, and it is something definitely worth considering, okay, as they erase the monuments, okay? We'll talk tomorrow on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Thank you again.
Introducing sweet February favorites at Artisan Bakery Cafe. Try their cherry almond loaf, a moist almond cake loaded with chopped cherries, pure perfection in every bite. Pair one with Artisan's indulgent drinks, cardamom rose latte, a sophisticated blend of cardamom's warmth and rose delicate sweetness. Amaretto latte, cozy up with almond fragrant nuttiness and a hint of